Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Awesome. So I was just saying in the first service, man, we're already talking about back to school. Kids, the holiday was short. It hasn't even quite started yet, right? But yeah, it is time to get ready for that stuff. It always takes a bit, but yeah. So we are been on a series called Real Together, and my message this morning is titled New Covenant People. So we are a new covenant people, and we're talking about how Real Together, it's been talking about how we honor, how we are committed to the church and so on. I think one of the biggest things, you know, for us is, are we actually truly walking as new covenant believers? And, you know, by us actually doing that, we are able to bless those around us because the power of the Holy Spirit is able to work through us in a mighty way, right? So before we get into the word, let's just enter into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness and your grace upon our lives, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the word that you want to speak this morning. May it be like a two-edged sword, that it might divide soul and marrow, Heavenly Father. May it do its work in us, Heavenly Father, to cut away the things of our lives that are holding us back, things that are keeping us stuck in place, Heavenly Father. So I just pray that you speak to each individual person here this morning, that you are liberating them to a life of freedom in you, Heavenly Father. So may you be honored, may you be magnified this morning, Lord, in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, new covenant believers. So, you know, one of the things that I've been talking about is, do we know the covenant that we are in a new covenant now? We're new covenant believers. But what I find a lot of times is that we end up getting stuck in old covenant mindsets. And why is that? It's because it's what we see in the world. It might be even what we listen to, or might even be what we hear in a church sometimes. We hear old covenant mentalities that are not lining up with new covenant, our new covenant promises that are in the Word of God. So I want to set a little bit of the foundation today. I want to go through a bit of the Word and talk about what does this mean, new covenant? What benefit is it to us? And to be honest, you know, if we are walking truly as new covenant believers, we are to look completely different than the rest of the world. Completely different. We should not have to try to figure out where to get our life from, because we have a new covenant. We have a Holy Spirit that is within us, giving us life and renewing us on a consistent basis. If we are searching ourselves today, and trust me, you can get into that mentality sometimes. Because why? Because we see it all around us. We're saturated in it from every direction. And, you know, for myself personally, I must say it's a hard thing to try to get yourself out of that mentality. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, we need to renew our minds. And trust me, this renewing of our minds is a tough process. Am I preaching works this morning? No, I'm not preaching works, but I will show you my faith by my works, right? So it is first faith, but it is something we have to actually do. We actually have to put effort into renewing our minds and our thought processes to the Word of God. And I can tell you, the Word of God is our standard. It is not our beliefs. It's not our feelings. It is not, this is what my Uncle Bob told me. No, it is the Word of God is our standard in our life. And we are to continually renew our minds to the Word of God. So I want to talk about the New Covenant this morning. So let's get into it. So New Covenant. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, such is this, the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. That is the first thing, you know, that we need to realize. It is not coming from us. Our sufficiency is in what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. He justified us. He made us righteous. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. And how can you preach the new covenant if we don't know what the new covenant is ourselves? How can you tell somebody else, hey, great news, we have a new covenant now, this freedom, blah, 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 if we don't know any of that ourselves? And trust me, like I said, this is an effort to continue to transform our minds. The Holy Spirit has already accomplished it. God has already accomplished it on the cross. Our righteousness is in Him and His sufficiency, right? So 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 17, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What is he talking about, the veil? He was talking to the Israelite people because the law itself had veiled their eyes to being able to see what Jesus came to do. And they had a veil over their eyes. And I always think of this. This is, we ourselves can have veils over our eyes because we haven't renewed our minds to the new covenant in the scriptures. We ourselves are sometimes veiled by old covenant mentalities. And so we are needing to decipher the word of God. So as things come towards you, we are to decipher, we're to look and see, does this match up with the new covenant mentality of where we're at? And I can tell you sometimes those things don't line up. But we are supposed to be students of the word to be able to decipher what is true and what lines up with the new covenant mindset now, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So, you know, as we turn to God, as we walk with Him, as we walk in closeness in relationship with Him, we are continually being renewed. That veil starts coming off our minds and our eyes of what's been veiling us, right? And if we don't have a consistent work, consistent relationship with God, the world starts putting veils over our eyes once again, and we start going off course. This is a continuous relationship. Like it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. So we are to stay connected to Him so that He's continually able to flow through us, right? There's a consistent connection that we need to have to God. Hebrews 8 verse 6 says, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant He mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, we now can say yes and amen to the promises of God. Why? Because He fulfilled the righteous requirement that was the if in the old covenant, right? The if has now been fulfilled by Him and what He did for us on the cross. If we stay connected to Him, that is the one requirement. We are to stay connected in a covenant relationship with Him, but He fulfilled the righteousness that was required to receive what He has provided for us, right? Hebrews 8, verse 7 to 8 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. For He finds fault with them, and He says, behold, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. What was He talking about here? This was Isaiah prophesying, and this was in Hebrews they were talking about what Isaiah was talking about, is that God was going to establish a new covenant. And this covenant would be, He would actually put the Holy Spirit within us, the law within our hearts that would be able to guide us and lead us, right? That He would put that law, that Spirit in us that be able to empower us to live this life the way he had required us to live it out. Hebrews 8:13 says, in speaking of the new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what it's becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? And he made provision for us, a new covenant, a brand new way for us to live. Yes, the Old Testament is there. There is truth and value in the Old Testament. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that what they were looking forward to, we have been fulfilled in our time. So when we look at those things, when we look at the promises of the Old Covenant, we can say yes and amen because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, right? Romans 8, verse 3 to 4 says, For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we are no longer to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit that is within us. So there's 15 things that the law could not do. It could not justify, free from sin and death, free from condemnation, redeem, give inheritance, bring righteousness, impart holiness, perform miracles, keep from the curse, impart faith, impart grace, make perfect, control sin in man, keep man from sin, enable a man to obey. These are all the things that the law could not do, but what we have now, the Holy Spirit within us is able to do those things, right? Is able to fulfill those things in us. It says in Romans 8, verse 1 to 2, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus is right. What an awesome, awesome scripture. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, this is a truth that I consistently, continually pour over myself because it is such a fundamental scripture in the Word of God, in the New Covenant believers. I can tell you, if you don't know this particular truth, the enemy is going to have a great time with you. Am I saying we can no longer sin? No, we slip up. We all do things wrong. Of course, what I'm not talking about is habitual sin, a sin that consistently, you continually do all the time. Yes, we slip up, that's fine, but we repent and we move on with our lives. The enemy, if you don't know where you stand within Christ, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, he will keep you in an endless cycle of constantly feeling condemned and constantly condemning yourself where you're not effective in the kingdom, where you're constantly feeling like, I am not righteous enough to actually walk with him. I'm not righteous enough to go talk to that person because of the sin I have done or where I slipped up yesterday or here or that. This is a fundamental scripture in the New Covenant believers. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? We have been freed from the grip of sin. We've been freed from sin having a hold of us and keeping us bound. We have the power to be able to overcome the things in our lives because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It does not have to bind us anymore. But the thing is, when we live in habitual sin, it says that I will protect you from all the things of the world. There will be no principality, there will be nothing that by any means shall harm you. But he never says that we can't walk out of his presence. He never says that we can't go back into the sin that we came free from, right? So, you know, just a word of caution, you know, when we continue to dabble again in the sin that we were freed from, he is able to pull us back in. And if we keep walking that path, we can walk away from him. Because if we couldn't walk away from him, then it would not be a choice on our part to follow him, right? But he wants to protect us. He wants to watch over us. He wants the best for us, right? So there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a promised spirit that he has placed within us to empower us, to give us an ability to walk over all the things of this world, all the temptations of this world. You know, as we get into the next part, I want to talk about the promise of the Spirit. And, you know, Jesus, when he was on earth, as he was ministering, he was talking to his disciples and he says, you know, it is better for you that I go, because then I can send the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, at that time, the disciples thought, what are you talking about? Like, it's better for you to be here. Like, we don't want you to go. Like, that's going to be worse for us. But, you know, God had a different purpose in mind. God had a different plan in mind. When Jesus was resurrected, he went into heaven. He was able to send his Holy Spirit. So he wasn't physically with us. And I know sometimes even ourselves, we would rather have Jesus with us here in a physical form because we could interact with him. We could talk to him in a physical and we could ask him all sorts of questions and so on. It would be, in our minds, that would be better than what we have now. But Jesus says, no, it's going to be better for you to have the promise of the Holy Spirit than for me to be here physically on this earth. Can we fathom that? I don't think a lot of us can we? We cannot understand how could that be better. Because we're not living in the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed in us as believers. As we go through the word here, I really want to emphasize this part. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And that should make you look completely different in this world. That should make you look completely different. We don't have the spirit of the world. We have the spirit of the living God living within us. So as we go through this, you know, in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit resides with us continually, always, all the time. If he didn't, then you would not be saved. Because it's the seal of the Holy Spirit that guarantees our salvation in the end. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit, says in the Word. When we accept him and we accept him into our lives, we accept the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and he seals us. Now, there's another ability, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to do what he has called us to do. Gives us the dunamis power to be able to work out what he has called us to work out. So there's a two-part giving of the Spirit, and sometimes those can be moments apart. You know, you receive one and you receive the other one as well. But I'm saying there isn't a power and ability that he gives us to work out what he has called us to work out. In John 4, verse 10, Jesus is talking about, I want to go a little bit through the word about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In John 10, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. In John 4, verse 10, 13 to 14, he says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a wellspring of water welling up to eternal life. Are you experiencing this wellspring within you? Are you experiencing this power of the Holy Spirit that always continues to well up, always continues to give you new life, always continues to refresh you, all the time. Just speaking for myself, sometimes I have to say no. I'm not experiencing that, right? Sometimes I have to say no. I'm not receiving that freshness on a consistent basis. Romans 8 verse 9 says, "You, however, are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." If you accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you received Him, you have the Holy Spirit within you. I'm establishing this fact right now. I'm establishing the fact that you either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. If you haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. But if you've accepted Him and you said, "Come into my heart," the Holy Spirit is within you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But I find sometimes, you know, I hear people saying, "Hey, Lord, just send the Holy Spirit, send the Holy..." No, He's in you. He's in you. If He left you, then you are not His. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God is our standard. It is not our feelings. "I feel you're not here. That way it must be true." No, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. That's not what the promise of the Word of God says. We have to stop living in a place of feelings. In this world right now is in a very bad state because feelings matter everything. I feel like I'm a knife. I feel like I'm a cat. I feel like that's all that it takes. Just a feeling and you are, that's the reality of who you are. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. So we as Christians, because we are embedded in this world, we are saturated in it. It's all around us. It's coming from every side of us. It's coming through sometimes the Word, even people preaching it. They're going contrary to what the Word of God says. Contrary to what the new covenant believers are supposed to look like. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. Amen. Galatians 4 verse 6 to 7 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ, our Christ God." We are an heir, a son, an heir. I would challenge you that you need to look into the Word of God. The religion will veil your eyes consistently, continually from seeing who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you want to continue to follow religion, you will continue to follow blindly because the veil will come over your eyes and you will not be able to see who you are. And this is why I say this is an effort. This is a constant, constant thing that we need to get into. We need to renew our minds into what He has for us, the new covenant of the believers. Why were 12 guys able to so radically change the world? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that they had within them. They had something different that the rest of the world did not have. The Pharisees seen, and then they knew that they were with Jesus because they understood that they were different. There was a difference within them. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of the Holy Spirit, but you know, the one thing I just want to talk to you about is every single one of you has the Holy Spirit within you. Every single one of you has the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You are to look different than the rest of the world. And when I say this to you, I'm saying it to myself as well, because I have to continue to remind myself that I need to look different than the rest of the world. It's not that I want to pretend. It's that I need to continue to renew my mind to the Word of God so that I can actually live out what He has called me to live out. We need to stir ourselves up on a consistent basis that we can live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in us. Because He will never leave you nor forsake you. Just because we have sometimes piled up the stuff in front of the Holy Spirit so that He's not able to move. The Holy Spirit is always pressured up. This is what came to my mind in the first service I was worshiping. The Holy Spirit is pressured up, ready to go. He's waiting for us to open the tap so that he can move. We don't have to pray, Holy Spirit, come, please help me in this situation. No, if we were walking with him, if we had a relationship with, we are abiding in him, that Holy Spirit is able to just pour through us. It's able to just flow through our lives. It's able to move. He is ready to go at any given time. It's not that we're telling him, Holy Spirit, now move. No, he'll move even if you're in obedience with him. He'll move even when you don't even know he's moving. He'll continue to pour through you. He wants to pour through you. He wants it more than you do. But we need to start seeing ourselves in a different way. So what are some of these benefits that we should see in our lives with the Holy Spirit? In John 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So he brings all things to our remembrance. As we get into the Word of God, as we're depending on him, as we need a ready answer for somebody, if we're sharing with them, the Holy Spirit will flow through us. He will flow the Word out of our mouth. If we are constantly in the Word, we're renewing our mind to it, he will bring to our remembrance the things that we need to know. And he will teach us all things. He will give you wisdom, revelation, understanding in the Word of God. If the Word is dry, you're not reading it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can't get into the Word and you're like, hey, I don't like reading the Word, then you are not reading it by the power of the Holy Spirit. What am I talking about here today? Am I talking about, oh, now I know this information and immediately all the feelings come and all the stuff? No, I'm talking about there's some renewing of the mind that has to happen in order for us to be able to start living in this. But we are a peculiar people. We are to live differently than what the rest of the world. We are to look differently. Because why? Because we have the living God within us. The living God is in us, renewing us, strengthening us. And in fact, it says in John 7, 38 to 39 in the Amplified, it says, "He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scriptures has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water." Did you catch that? Continually rivers of living water. I like that. Rivers of living water. Continually. But he was speaking of the Holy Spirit afterward. Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him as Savior were to receive afterward. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified and raised to honor. Did you see that? Did it say that only some were given the power of the Holy Spirit? That only a few, only the ones that are preaching the word, they're the ones given the power of the Holy Spirit. No, he said all of them that believed him as Lord and Savior were given the Holy Spirit. It made no distinction. It made no distinction for you. That means that you're called because the power of the Holy Spirit is within you. Does that make sense? You're called. You're called to live a different life. You're called to live as a son, not as a slave. You're called to live like no one else on this world. He wants to flow through you like the rivers of living water, bringing freshness and newness. Are you continuing to thirst? If you're continuing to thirst, then I would say to you, you're probably sucking from a slough or stagnant water of some sort. Hey, I'm talking to myself because I'm sometimes thirsty. I sometimes thirst. Why? Because I'm probably sucking off of some slough. Well, meanwhile, he's placed within me rivers of living water that wants to fulfill, that wants to give me everything, all of my thirst quenched. He will give you everything that you stand in need of. He has placed it within you already. It's done. It's finished. It's already in you. All we're needing to do is allow it to flow. Allow it to flow out of us. But it's not just for us. It's for those around us. It's for the ones that you lay hands on. It's for, he wants to bring healing. He wants to bring restoration to people around us. He wants to put a love within us to love others as we love ourselves. There is people that live this reality. And I have glimpses of this reality, and I feel it sometimes. And I know it because I'm feeling it, and I'm walking through it. Sometimes I have to walk. Sometimes I'm able to walk by sight, and sometimes I have to walk by faith. Why? Because the feeling's not always there, but the reality of it is still there. So sometimes I'm walking, and I'm like, "Oh, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. That must mean the Holy Spirit is not with me." No. I have to remind myself, no, greater is he that is in me than the one that's in the world. That's where the word of God comes in. No, the word, the standard of the word says, no, the Holy Spirit hasn't left me. He's in me. He's empowering me. He's giving me everything that I stand in need of to walk forward. You know, I was listening to a message the other day, and the guy was talking about how he takes notes, and he actually writes down when God provides provision in his life where he answers prayer. And he was saying, you know, he had this guy come up for prayer. And this guy was like, "Oh, if God doesn't do this in my life, I'm done." And, you know, the guy's like, you know, he's like, "Okay, I'll say." So he knew the guy. So he's thinking, well, you know, I know where God answered this prayer for you. And he started reminding him of all the prayers that God had answered in his life. And all of a sudden, this little thing that he was trying to believe for paled in comparison to the things that God had already answered in his life. What is my point? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves. Sometimes we need to stir ourselves up to know, to stir ourselves up in the most holy faith, like the Word of God says. You know, I can stir you up here today. I can stir you up, and I can stir up myself here today. But what about tomorrow? Tomorrow, it starts depending on you. Tomorrow, you need to get into the Word and stir yourself up to the most precious promises of the Word of God, what He says, yes and amen to you. That has to be done by you. Because you have the reality of the Holy Spirit within you, empowering you to live out the life that He has called you to live. John 16 says, verse 13, he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." You know, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And you know, this might be, you know, things, you know, sometimes it's even in prophecy, sometimes it's a word of knowledge to people, or maybe it's even in your own workplace, he reminds you of things. Or if you're listening, maybe he even reminds you, "Hey, by the way, it's your anniversary today, eh? You better talk to your wife about it," you know. So, you know, if we have a sensitive ear to the Holy Spirit, he wants to remind us. He's a part of our lives. He wants to speak even the small things to us. He wants to be real. He wants to be in our lives every single day, moment by moment. The power of the Holy Spirit can work in us. We are peculiar people. We are people that are full of wisdom. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us. Sometimes the connection between the Holy Spirit and our physical, we need to continue to practice that to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives. But I can tell you, you can develop this through the renewing of your mind, right? You know, I was doing a devotional last week and with somebody, and this quote came up, and it struck me. I'll read first to you. So Oswald Chambers: "The remarkable thing about fear, about fearing God, is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything." You know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, what does that mean to me? Because it struck me, because there is fears that we have in our lives. You know, just being honest, sometimes because we live in the world, we're saturated by the world, we have fears that enter in. Well, how am I going to pay for this? Or is that person going to be okay there? Are my kids going to be okay? Or is this? All these fears in life creep up around us. All the things saturate us. You know, what a wrong perspective of where we have. If we do not fear God, and you know, the fear of the Lord is not a fear where we're scared of God. Fear is reverence, obedience, humility, trust, worship. It's knowing that who God truly is. You know, I think sometimes, I think of it this way. I was listening, I forget who I was listening to, but there was this testimony of this guy. He was saying that he had a vision of the judgment day, and he just talked about how he's seen these people coming before him, and these people were judged. They were in the world. They did not believe in God, but they came before him. As they came before him, God revealed to them exactly where he was trying to intervene in their life, where they didn't choose him, but they chose not to be with him. He says, in that moment, there was no argument with those people. They did not argue with him because they could see it clearly in their own lives, because they were sober-minded all of a sudden before him to see the judgment of what he was telling them, or where they were going, right? And they were put into the abyss. You know, that's a sober-mindedness that all of a sudden comes upon us, where we have absolute clarity about what it is in this world. This world has a way of saturating us, has a way of putting us asleep, has a way of putting us on track that, oh, you know, Jesus is not coming back, but, you know, the return of Jesus is near. We can see it all around us. And we are to live with an expectation that he is coming back. We don't have to be afraid when we live with him. When we're saved, we don't have to be afraid, but he will ask us, what have you done with the talents and abilities that I have placed within you? There will be rewards for those that were faithful in their talents and abilities and what they used them for. Or there will maybe be regret. I'm not talking about that because we didn't use our talents, we're maybe not saved. No, we'll be saved, but we'll be regretful because we'll look and see, and with soberness, we'll be able to look and see the abilities that we had in us that we never actually used, abilities that we never actually put into practice because we just did not search it out. We did not have faith in him and what he wanted to do. We did not have faith in the power and ability that he had placed within us. So, you know, the fear of the Lord, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. Who do we fear? Do we fear all the things of the world, or do we put our fear and our trust in him? What does that mean? That means that we live with an awareness that he could come back at any time. He could come back, and I want to make sure that I'm pleasing him, and I'm walking in him. I'm going to utilize this ability and power that he has given me. Trust me, I am not just preaching to you guys this morning, I'm preaching to myself as well. We can all get lulled in by the world. This is not to condemn you. This is to, I hope, to wake us up. I'm waking myself up. I need to continue to stir myself up in the Lord to be able to constantly stay awake, to walk with him. Because man, oh man, I just don't know how it happens, but we fall asleep. And then a week has gone by. Oh, what did I do this week? Wow, you know, I was busy with this. I was busy with that. Busyness. One of the craftiest tricks of the enemy, busyness. You know, you get a feeling of gratification, you get a feeling of accomplishment when you're busy doing this and doing that. But for what purpose? For what gain? I'm not talking about we are to work, we are to provide for our family, we are to work hard as unto the Lord. All this, I'm not talking against that. What I'm saying is not taking time to walk with him on a consistent basis. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. He's asking something more of us, every single one of you guys. He's asking you, are you going to take him at his word and live out the purpose that he has for you? Live out the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to flow through you like he has never flowed through you before, to refresh you, to bring newness, newness of life into you, into your life. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." I just like that last phrase, carried along by the Holy Spirit. Man, may that be said of us, that we were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, you will never be so alive in your life when you walk with him and see him working mighty works in front of you and through us. So he has a purpose and a plan for you. And that purpose and that plan is for you to look differently than the rest of the world does. So are you willing to take his challenge? Are you willing to say, hey, no, I'm a new covenant believer. There's a new covenant for me. God has not just said, hey, this is the new covenant, but he has also given us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to fulfill it, to live it out to the fullest. So join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness and your grace upon our lives. I pray that you might be honored and glorified. Lord, I know this is the truth of your word, Father. I pray that this might bring just a longing, not a condemnation, but a longing to walk with you more fully, Lord. So I just pray that every single person here, Father, that you stir in them a longing, a hunger to walk with you, a thirst that is wants to be satisfied by you and by the presence of your Holy Spirit. So I just thank you, Father. I thank you for your faithfulness, that you said you have accomplished all of it, Lord, and you have placed that Holy Spirit within us to empower us, to embolden us to live for your purpose and for your glory, Heavenly Father. May you truly be honored and glorified, Lord, in what we do. May it not just be for our own gain, Father, but as we are being blessed, I pray that we bless others, Lord. Stir us with love, compassion for those that are not in the kingdom yet, Lord. Stir us for those that are still lost, that don't know their purpose, Heavenly Father, that we might reach out, that we are able to give them, to tell them about the hope and that we have in our lives, Lord. May you be honored. May you be glorified. I pray that you are with every single individual person here, that you give them what they stand in need of, Lord God, in your Son Jesus' name. I just said, keep your eyes closed and your head bowed for just a minute. I just want to give an invitation. If you are here today and you want to give your life to God, or you want to say, hey, I have walked completely away, I want to come back to him, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Just repeat this prayer after me. God, forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me for not walking with you. Forgive me for going my own way. I ask you right now, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you died for me on the cross. I want to follow you right now, Heavenly Father. I just ask for the Holy Spirit right now. Fill me to overflow with your presence to empower me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your eyes closed and heads bowed. I just want to just say, if there was somebody here today that said that prayer, would you put up your hand just as an act of faith? So if I didn't see that hand this morning, I'd like to just invite you to go back to our connections desk. We have somebody there that would love to talk to you and talk to you about what your next step as a believer is. Yeah, thank you so much.